Jamie is. So, not preaching as often as I used to, I find myself when I sit thinking about a sermon, a lot of the same themes that in the past year that I have thought about seem to continue coming out in my mind. And this past week, as I was preparing for this, two events in the past year have kind of popped up and kept reasserting themselves. The first was, and I may have mentioned this before, earlier this year, we had a gentleman at my office who died. He didn't know it, but he had COVID. He was about my age. He was maybe a year or two older than I was. The thing that stuck with me was he was a financial writer. So he wrote about money, about investments, about preparing for retirement. And we found out after he passed away that the only preparation he had, the only thing he had for his family, was the company group policy that we have for all of our employees. This was a man who spent his entire day writing about preparing for retirement, and he wasn't prepared for retirement. He wasn't prepared for what happened to him with COVID. And it could have been anything other than COVID. This is not a lesson about the dangers of COVID and taking it seriously. But he wasn't prepared, is what it came down to. And that really kind of struck home that, how prepared was I for what would happen to Lori if I passed away? The gentleman who worked for me, his wife was in danger of losing their house. They had just sent their only child to college, and now they were questioning whether or not he would even be able to go to college, because could they afford it? Because they really hadn't prepared much for those kind of situations. And then the second event, Lori's brother Dick just passed away. Now, that's a little bit of a different situation, because Dick wasn't a surprise to us that he passed away. He had been having strokes for 10 years, off and on. He had had a number of health problems. And the thing that struck me with Dick's passing was there's certain things that he was prepared for. I would tell you, if I pass away right now, we have no clue where I'm going to be buried, or if I'm going to be buried. Those kind of preparations we just haven't done. I'm not prepared for that. Now, obviously, because I'm bringing it up, we've already started having a conversation about this. And the cool thing, Fred Hunter, the funeral home over here, I think on Taft, they offer a canoeing out to the ocean and then dumping your ashes at sea. And I got to tell you, I kind of chuckled a little bit thinking about some of you guys in a canoe on the Atlantic Ocean, canoeing out past the brake line to toss my ashes in the water. You know, I know some of you could probably handle it, but, you know, I did chuckle last night when we saw that they offered that service. But, there's a lot of preparation that we don't think about. And out in the world, if there's so many things, insurance, death preparations for burial and funerals. And so many of you in this room over the past, since I've been here, have gone through that in one form or another. And so these things are already on your mind. The biggest question that we should be asking ourselves is, are we prepared to face God? And as Christians, what can we be doing as we go about our life, making sure that we're prepared to face God? And as I thought about how do you prepare, there's some things, as a Christian, we're going to start off talking about, as a Christian, what are some things that you can do to help you prepare to face God? Now, the first thing that we have to remember is that salvation is a gift. So we're not approaching this from the prospect of how can I earn my way into heaven, because we know we can't do that. Any opportunity that we have of salvation is because God has desired to have us there and has given us the gift of salvation. That being said, we know that there are things that we need to do to take advantage of that salvation that he's offered us. And we'll talk about those for non-Christians if you're not a Christian at the end of this. But if you're a Christian, we should be constantly thinking about what can I do from here on out to prepare myself for what may happen. Because what I can tell you from the gentleman who worked for me, who was essentially maybe 2 years older than I was, and even though Dick had been sick for off and on for a decade, you don't know when it's going to happen. You just don't know what's going to happen. You know, the gentleman I worked with, you know, what happened is one of the side effects for some people with COVID are blood clots. He didn't realize he had COVID. He just thought he had a cold or a flu. And the blood clots turned into a brain hemorrhage. And that's what he died of, is this brain hemorrhage. That could happen to anybody, whether you have COVID or not. You could be driving home. I remember one of the first sermons when we moved here that George preached, is he was talking about somebody dying at the corner of Taft and 441, and I thought he was being serious, that somebody had just died from the congregation at Taft and 441. And talking to him afterward, I realized that it was just a preacher example that he used. But one of us here in this room could literally die on the way home today from an accident. We could be in the wrong place at the wrong time. We've seen that a number of times. You know, somebody drives by and there's a shooting. I mean, there was just a couple of major shootings last night in the Hialeah area. And, you know, we have members who live in Hialeah who drive through Hialeah. So you never know when it's going to happen. So we should be constantly preparing. And the first thing, and every time I think about how do we prepare as Christians, I think about prayer. We can't pray enough. We just can't. I wished that I had more time to pray, and I get mad at myself when I find myself at the end of the day not having taken what little time I did have during the day to pray. And we know Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. James tells us in James chapter 5, verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. We should be a prayerful people. We should be constantly taking the time to pray. And, you know, I think one of the fortunes of not working close to where I live is, you know, during times of COVID, I had about a 35-minute drive to work. It's now about 45 to 50 minutes. That's a perfect time to pray. Obviously, I'm not closing my eyes and bowing my head during that time period, but I am approaching God during that time and praying. You know, when I'm at home, you know, sitting on the couch at night, you know, oftentimes I'll sit there and pray. A lot of times I'm praying that the cat next to me doesn't bite me, which she often does. But, you know, what should we be praying about as Christians? Everything. John 3, verse 2 tells us that we should be praying for our health. Obviously, in this time period, that's something that we can think a lot about. James 5, verse 16, just a couple of verses away from the passage we already read, tells us we should be praying about sin and the forgiveness of our sin. Hebrews 13, verse 18, that we should be praying for the work we do here as a congregation and the work we as Christians should be doing individually. We should be praying for everything. You know, one thing that I think we've gotten out of the habit of praying for those things that seem almost too biblical. Think about it. Solomon was approached by God and said, I'll grant you anything that you want. You know, do you want the richest kingdom that ever exists? Solomon could have asked for that and God would have granted it to him. But what did Solomon pray for? Wisdom. When was the last time you prayed for wisdom? It's one thing to pray for knowledge, because knowledge is easy to get. We've got the Bible right in front of us, and we can read it every day. We've got people who are around us, Jamie, George, other people who can help us understand the knowledge the Bible presents. But wisdom is something that comes from the application of knowledge, and that's not something that you necessarily are going to learn sitting in a classroom listening to a very good teacher. Wisdom is something that comes from God. And we can pray for it, and God will grant us wisdom if we ask for it. When was the last time you prayed for wisdom? When was the last time you prayed for the opportunity to study with someone, to study the Bible with someone? You know, we have our neighbors. Are you praying for your neighbors, for their heart to be open to God so that you can study with them and teach them about the Word? Are you praying for the person who's in the office next to you at work, or who sits right across the cube from you? Are you praying for the people if you have some sort of a social club that you attend? Are you praying for them that you have get granted the opportunity to teach and preach to them? You know, we need to pray for everything. And the thing about prayer, I think the thing that intimidates us about prayer is the prayer that we speak here in the assembly. Because I have to tell you, there are some eloquent men who say prayer for us. I mean, Don is one who, Rick, when Rick prays, I often think that King James himself is in the room because of the language he uses and how beautiful that language is and how eloquent he is in his prayer. And Chris as well. And there's so many eloquent men who can pray to God in a way that is so encouraging and uplifting to me, far more than sometimes a sermon can be. And I think that we walk away from this congregation thinking, I can't pray like that. I don't have the ability to put together these beautiful strings of thought in such a way that I even dare to approach God. And when I think of that, when that has come up, when people have said that to me, I tell them to go to Matthew. And if you go to Matthew chapter 6, at verse 9, this is the prayer when the disciples asked Jesus himself, how do I pray? What is the acceptable way to pray? This is the prayer that he put together. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's not a long prayer. It's not a complex prayer either, is it? It's not even relatively eloquent, to be honest. I don't tend to like to talk about Greek in a sermon, but if you convert this into its actually original Greek, it's not eloquent at all. The eloquence that you see in this prayer comes from centuries of Christians trying to make this sound eloquent. But it really is just, what is he praying for? He's praying for God, thanking God for salvation, thanking God for his love and his kingdom, asking God to take care of us daily, asking him to forgive us and then asking him for the opportunity to forgive, to ask forgiveness of those that we've sinned against, and finally asking him to take care of us so that we're not tempted again. I mean, these are five really basic things. Every time I've taught a class to young Christians, young men who are starting their process of participating in the worship, and they get to the prayer, I always tell them, don't be afraid of praying. Yes, we have men who can pray these beautiful, eloquent prayers, but there's only five things that God tells us that, you know, in his prayer that we should pray for. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't pray for other things, that you can't pray for that issue that's going on in your life that you need help for. But understand from this prayer in Matthew 6 that Jesus gave us that your prayer doesn't have to be eloquent. It doesn't have to be. There's a preacher back home that I grew up with, and he used to say that a prayer does not have to be eternal to be immortal. So pray from your heart. Pray for the things that are going on in your life that you need help with, that you're struggling with. Pray in your own tone of voice. Talk to God. When I first learned how to write, Dee Bowman, not write, but write articles publicly, Dee Bowman said to us in class, write your article the way you would tell your mother. And I find the same thing holds true for your prayer. Pray to God in your private prayers the way you would tell your mother about the problems you're going through. That assumes that you talk to your mother, but yeah. So that's the first thing that I think helps us prepare ourselves for what's going to happen at the end of this life. The second thing is we have to understand that we shouldn't trust our own thoughts. We shouldn't trust our way of thinking to lead us to Christ. Don't lean on your own understanding. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. 1 John 5, verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. We have to understand that the way I feel about a topic may not be what God wants us to do on that topic. So we have to not lean on our own understanding, and we need to search out the Bible to see what God would have us to do on that topic. 2 Timothy 2, verse 7, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. You don't have to worry about whether or not there's some topic in your life that the Bible covers. The Bible covers everything. And all you have to do is seek for that wisdom, and God will give it to you. God will help you find the knowledge, and then God will give you the wisdom to apply that knowledge to your life. So don't trust your own thoughts. Seek out what God would have you to do by looking in the scriptures for that. The next thing that I think helps us prepare ourselves is we should plan to do good work. We should plan to help somebody. Now, opportunities to help will randomly come up, and you can't really plan for them. But there's oftentimes there are needs that we know of that we're not doing anything to help with that we could help. You know, somebody could, you know, they could have a problem that needs money, and maybe you have a little extra that you can help. Maybe you don't have a little extra, but you can make a pie for them or a casserole, or, you know, money's tight for them, so, you know, you don't really have the money to help them, but you can make a meal for them. There are plenty of ways that we can do good works, because we have to realize that the actions we take are reflective of our heart. Colossians 1, verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we should be planning to do good works, because that is not just something that we do with happenstance. It's something we as Christians should be constantly doing and preparing for, to do good works. The other thing that we need to do in our preparation is not only plan to do good works, but we also should plan for trials. What kind of trials are we going to face? We're not in the first and second centuries when the Roman Empire will kill us just for being a Christian. But there are plenty of other trials that we may face. One is, just getting older. You know, we are going to have plenty of trials, and it's, you know, I didn't do this on purpose, but I those of you who've been here for a while know that I have a bad back. I'm part of the bad back club. All of us raise our hands. Part of that bad back club. And I barely could get up this morning. My back was hurting so badly. I have been on ice since about 5:30 this morning, just because of how bad my back was this morning. And I can tell you, I know that there are others in this room right now who have much worse situations than I do, health-wise. And that's a trial of being a Christian. As we grow older, we're going to face some of these issues of just growing older, and we need to prepare ourselves for those trials. We're also, we could preach whole sermons on the fact that the government and the world is changing right in front of us. You know, those of you who grew up in the 50s know that the government is much different toward Christians than it was then. Even in my time, you know, growing up in the 70s and 80s, the government's different. So there's going to come a time, unfortunately, probably too soon, when being a Christian might be something that the government is going to go after us for, and we need to be prepared for that. Are we going to stand up for what's true and what's right and do what God says, or are we going to cower before the government? So we need to prepare ourselves. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for my sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven will be great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We weren't promised a rose garden. And in fact, in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, Jesus told us that we're going to have some Christians among us, that when they see the trials that the world is going to put them through, they're going to fall away. In verses 20 and 21, that's those who were the seed that fell upon the rocky soil. When Jesus explains that, says specifically that this is the one on whom the seed was sown in the rocky places. This is the man who hears the word, receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but it is only temporary. And when the affliction or persecution arises because of the word, he immediately falls away. You know, we have to remember that we need to be prepared for those trials if we want to stand in front of God and have the righteous gifts that he plans to give us, that he wants to give us. We only have a couple of minutes, and so I'll finish with this last point of what you can do to help prepare yourself, and that is to treat others better than you treat yourself. We know the golden rule is to treat others the way you would want to be treated. But Matthew 7, verse 12, "So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain in your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting." You know, we can be selfish. And we need to remember, based on this verse, that we need to put that selfishness away, that grief and anger that leads us to try to put ourselves first. In the book of Romans, verse 13, verse 9, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandments are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is a command that we have to treat others better than we treat ourselves. And what does that mean? You know, should we live in a hovel while we give all of our money away to everybody else? I don't think so, but it does mean that we should be mindful of others, that we should be mindful of the way we treat them and the way that we act around them, so that we can help prepare ourselves by treating others better than we treat ourselves. And finally, if you're not a Christian, how do you prepare yourself? Unfortunately, if you're not a Christian, if you find yourself at the end of your life at this point, there's nothing you can do at that point. It's too late. So prepare yourself by obeying the Word of God, doing what God asks you to do, to obey Him. And you do that by hearing His Word, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, by repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, and then being baptized. Once you're baptized, you come out of that water, salvation is there, and the rest of your life, you live preparing yourself for that ultimate meeting between you and God. And there's so many other things. This is, as Jamie often says in his sermons, this is not an exhaustive list of this topic. There's many other things that we can be doing, but as we grow to the end of this time period, these are the things I wanted to share this morning. If you're here and you're not a Christian, there's no better opportunity than right now to obey God. And if you are a Christian and you need the prayers of the congregation and whatever it is, we ask that you come forward now as we stand and as we sing.